Well, tonight I want to share some things with you. We're going to be going to Romans chapter 1, if you want to turn there. Romans chapter 1. And I'm going to share with you three keys that I hope you never use. Yes, I don't want you to use these three particular keys at all. Because I just don't want you to use them. And you know why? Because these three keys are man's downfall. These are the three keys that bring man down, not up. Now, these are not my keys. I didn't come up with them. But it's what God says in His Word. And these keys are detrimental to the success of man in his life. So, let's take a look at Romans chapter 1, and the keys are in verse 21, but let's read verse 20 first, Romans 1:20, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." You know, when you look at the great beauty of our world and how it works, how it's put together, the balance of nature, everything, it's very evident that there's got to be a God, a powerful God. And that witnesses the great spiritual truths from all the laws of nature. I mean, I think about seeing airplanes fly, these big heavy metal objects. They fly every time. That's because of the principle of their air wing and the flow of air going under and over and lift and all that good stuff. But the things that God has done, they work. Not 99% of the time, but 100% of the time. Well, verse 21, because that, when they knew God, they glorified not Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Why did they become vain? Why was their heart foolish? Well, it's because of several things here. It says when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, and neither were thankful. So really, to me, the first key here, did they really know God? You know, they obviously had an exposure to who God was, but did they really know who God Almighty is? And I don't think so. I don't think so. So when you think about how wonderful and how great our God is and all that He's done for us, man, we should be very blessed and excited to be have a knowledge of God. And unfortunately, God gets a bad rap many times, being accused of the many negative things that the God of this world is doing. But you know what? God is good. And how often is He good?
All the time.
God is good all the time. And the more we get to know Him and see what He's done and His love and His care for His people, we want to hang out with Him. We want to know Him even better. It says in James 1:17, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." So, God only gives good and wonderful things. So the more we get to know Him, the more we'll see His good gifts that He has made available to man. But man, when he does not learn about God and who He is and how wonderful and loving He is, then falls to being vain and empty and missing out on the great benefits of knowing God. You know, there's a verse I saw today. Mike McNair shared this in a text message. It was 2 Corinthians 1:20, and it's talks about the promises of God are yea and
amen.
They are what God says they are. So when we learn about our God and his promises, we can have great success. But if we don't learn about him, I don't think our success will be near as good. Well, here's some other wonderful verses along these lines. Psalm 18. Just how wonderful our God is. So 18:1, Psalm 18:1 is to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, I love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. This is just another evidence of God's greatness and his goodness, that we can trust in him, that we can believe in him, that he is a God that can be trusted. So we can call on him and we can praise him, knowing that he loves us and cares for us. In 1 John chapter 3, that expresses God's wonderful love to his people. It says in verse 1 here of chapter 3 of 1 John, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Wow, therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew who not?
Him not.
Him not. See, if people don't know God, then they're not going to appreciate and understand the reality that he has a family and that he is a father to his family and that we're his children. And it was his love that set it all up. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, right? I mean, what a sacrifice and what an evidence of great love. Verse 2 goes on to say, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So, wow. We can have great expectations with our Father. The more we know our God, the more we see his great love and care for us. So, on the other hand, if we don't know him, if we don't spend time learning about how wonderful and loving and great he is, then we miss out on many of the great benefits that God has made available for us. Well, the second key that will hold us back from being successful in this life is not glorifying God. You know, as we get to know him, our Heavenly Father, and his great love that he's extended to us, we want to respond. What kind of response do we get to somebody that blesses us and helps us? Well, we want to recognize them. We want to glorify them. We want to recognize their presence in our life. And so as we glorify God, it is evidence of our understanding and appreciation of what he's done for us. You know, in this world we live in, what man generally glories in is everything but God. You know, if you had two tickets to the front row of the KISS concert, oh, you would just run and jump on there, cancel all your appointments, and get out of work and be right there, right? No. I'm getting a lot of head shake. Maybe that wasn't a good example to use. Yeah. Yes. There we go. All right. Thanks. Beach Boys. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Bob would go.
I would go. Yes. But we're glorying in who? You know, entertainers.
Our accomplishments.
Yeah. So, it's interesting. Athletes. Yeah. I mean, if we had an opportunity to see a great football team play, oh, we would jump on it. So all these things and people that we glory in really have no value compared to glorying in our Heavenly Father, right?
Amen.
Yeah, so it's no wonder that people, if they don't glory in God, that they don't recognize Him, they fail to see His blessings in their life. It says in Psalms 86:12, I will praise Thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify Thy name forevermore. Yeah. So the more we see God's wonderful love and care and what He's made available, all His wonderful promises that are yea and amen, yeah, we want to respond with glorifying Him, praising Him. Matthew 5:16, I know I'm going pretty quick here on these verses, but Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, really, anything that we do that helps people's lives, we want to give the credit to who? God Almighty, our Heavenly Father. He's the one that we want to glorify and recognize. 1 Corinthians 6:20, let me read this verse to you. For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body, which are God's. So we are bought with a price, right? He paid the ultimate price with His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we should glorify God in all that we are. 1 Peter 4:11, it says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So we just want to have an attitude of praise and glory to our Heavenly Father. And with that type of attitude, we're going to just see His blessings just shower upon our lives. If we don't do that, if we don't glorify Him, then we're missing out on the great blessings of God. Well, the third key that'll hold you back from the blessings of God is being not thankful. Not thankful. You know, I think many times our pride gets the best of us and we get outside of recognizing who really counts in life. And it's about us, ourselves, and me and I. But we need to more and more be thankful to our Heavenly Father and all that He's done for us. Again, having that thankful attitude toward Him who has made us and given us a hope and a reality of Christ within, that's the attitude we want to have, if we can have this in us. So I'm going to ask for some volunteer readers. So Romans 1:8, Jeannie. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, Paula. Let's see, a couple more. Al, why don't you do 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 2 through 5. And then 2 Thessalonians 1, 3, Tom. And Shanti, I didn't forget you.
Thank you,
Bob. 2 Timothy 1, 3. All right. You know, most of these verses, in fact, all of them, are the beginning of their particular church epistle. And this idea of being thankful is resonant all through the church epistles and even in the very beginning of them. So please read loudly so everybody can hear. Jeannie?
Romans 1:8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world.
All right. Just, again, starting off with a thankful attitude.
Okay. Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And now, 1 Thessalonians 1, 2 through 5.
Yes, 1 Thessalonians 1, 2 through 5. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake.
Yeah, wow. Wonderful. Tom?
2 Thessalonians 1:3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth.
And then 2 Timothy 1:3.
I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day.
Yeah. You know, who wrote these church epistles?
Paul.
Where was he, and what condition was he in when he wrote these?
He was in prison.
Yeah, he was in prison for the most part. You know, he had soldiers bound to him and stuff. And yet, how could you communicate being thankful when you're in prison and you're locked up and everything? It's like, it's amazing. But that's how big the love of God is. And this attitude of being thankful is really, really wonderful. And it's key. And it's no wonder that if you're not thankful, if you don't recognize, you know, how good God is, and that you glorify Him and that you know Him and His love and heart, that we fall short of the blessings of God in our life. So don't do the three keys, all right? Where you don't know God, and don't glorify Him, and be unthankful, okay? Yeah, we want to be able to do that and recognize our Heavenly Father and continue to be blessed with Him and all that He's made available for us. So at this point, I want to close with a wonderful song for you.
Hallelujah. And God is the strength of my heart. Oh, God is the strength of my heart. God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. God is the strength of my heart. God is the strength of my heart. God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Whom have I in heaven but you? There is nothing on earth I desire beside you.
There is one truth,
but there is one truth that always will prevail.
Hey.
Okay, Heavenly Father, thank you for how you've blessed us and given us a wonderful relationship with you, and that we're in your family, and that we can love you and love each other. Thank you that we can learn about you more and more, that we can just glorify you in all that you've done for us and be of a thankful heart. So I thank you for your people tonight, for blessing them and continuing to work mightily within their hearts to heal, to deliver, to guide, direct. We're sure grateful, Father, again, that we have you as our Heavenly Father. And we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.